Well, hello everyone. It's good to be here in God's presence, amen. I'm not sure if anyone else feels this way, but for me, one of life's simple pleasures is a overtaking lane in a 100k zone. And if my dad was here, he would be saying amen. But you know, one thing that can take my joy from this situation is the car in front of me. Because sometimes when I'm driving into Geelong, what happens is the car in front of me is going a little bit slow. And I do mean under 100. And I remind myself, especially after hearing Pastor Bevan a few weeks ago, the Spirit of the Lord is in me and I am now exercising patience. And I also know that an overtaking lane's coming up. But have you ever had one of those moments when the car decides, after it's been going slow, that as soon as it gets to the overtaking lane, it just takes off? And I'm like, oh, I can't do 120. Well, I could really, but I won't. And so I find that as soon as the overtaking lane has finished, they slow back down. And I'm just like, oh, the Spirit of the Lord is indeed within me. And I will pray for that person later. And just like that driver tested my patience, in life sometimes we have moments that challenge our joy, that challenge our peace, and they challenge our trust in God. But we can look at Romans 8 and declare this truth over our lives. And it says in Romans 8, 37 to 39, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, are you persuaded today? Because I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come in our life this year, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, this passage gives us two essential truths. This morning, we are more than conquerors, and nothing, and I mean nothing, can separate us from God's love. Why? Because our Heavenly Father loved us so much that he sent his Son Jesus to the earth, who died on a cross for us, who was buried and rose again on the third day for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we could be in right relationship with our Heavenly Father and that we could experience eternal life. What he did on the cross gives us absolute confidence in these truths. You know, at the heart of Romans 8, this is a chapter that is filled with powerful declarations that we can speak over our lives. And we can make those declarations because of what God has done for us. Romans 8 begins with these powerful words. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What does that mean for you and I today? It means that guilt, shame, and fear no longer have to have a hold on us, because Jesus has set us free. Paul tells us that the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, empowering us to live in freedom and victory. However, as we know, there are times when our thoughts don't align with his truth. The enemy loves to whisper lies, to make us feel condemned, to keep us trapped in guilt and shame, to remind us that what we've done instead of who we are in Jesus Christ. So what shall we do in those moments? We need to pull those thoughts down. We need to refuse to entertain them. And then we need to stand on God's word, declare his truth, and believe it in our hearts. God has called us to live free, truly free. He wants us to walk every day with this confidence, completely assured of what he has done. So today we can stand knowing here today that there is no condemnation. This is the truth that we walk in. This is the victory we live in every single day. And you know, the beauty of this journey is that we're not alone. In the good times, the Holy Spirit is with us. In the okay times, Holy Spirit is with us. And those times where perhaps things aren't going our way or going the way we would like, He is with us. You know, when the road ahead seems winding, we don't know what's going to happen, we can take comfort in knowing Holy Spirit is with us. And He helps us in our weaknesses, leading and strengthening us to become more like Jesus. Have you ever had one of those moments where you've stopped and asked yourself, why did I react like that? How come I said that? How did that just come out of my mouth? And why do I keep struggling with this? Or is it just me? Just me? Okay. Well, I'll give you an example then. For me, sometimes those reactions seem to come out of the blue. In fact, just this week gone, maybe God knew I was going to be speaking today. But I had a reaction to something. And you know, I was like, I stepped back from that reaction and I thought, where did that come from? I don't even remember thinking that in my heart, but suddenly it was there. And I tried to, like me, this is just me being a bit of a peacemaker, I tried to look, oh, I didn't do anything, and, you know, oh, everything's right, and I tried to pull a smile on my face. But, you know, I had to say right then, look, Holy Spirit, this is a weakness. But I know that You come and make me perfect in my weakness because of Jesus Christ. And I did have to apologise to my husband, and you can ask him because I did do that. But Holy Spirit, I'm so thankful that when we have those moments, that, you know, even if I don't know how to say what to pray, He intercedes for us today. He goes to the Father and says, look at my child. I love this person so much that I want them to walk in so much freedom because it's already been attained for us. And right now, because I know they don't know what to pray, I am going to intercede. Heavenly Father, right now, I pray for this person. I pray for Renu. I pray for Bob. I pray for Darlene. I pray for Naomi. I pray for Graham. Because right now, they are needing my strength in their weakness. And let me tell you, He comes through every time. And He also reminds us of this in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And the Amplified says it like this, and we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His plan and purpose. So even if we don't see the outcome, we can trust that God is working behind the scenes, weaving every piece together for our good and His glory. And Paul ends the chapter declaring that nothing, not death nor life, nor the past nor future, can separate us from God's love. So Romans 8 begins with no condemnation and it ends with no separation. But then also in this chapter reminds us of this important truth. And this is where Paul says in Romans 8:37, yet in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Not after all these things, in these things we are more than conquerors. In the middle of the hardship, in the middle of the good, in the middle of the pain, we are already victorious through Christ. And if anyone is qualified to say these words with conviction, it is Paul. He went through a whole gauntlet of experiences, through seeing many people getting saved, through experiencing shipwreck and persecution, and also helping other churches through his writings. He also received beatings, but he also saw amazing healings and testimonies. And because of this, he was able to declare with confidence and full assurance that we are more than conquerors. So let's take a closer look at what he was saying. Paul didn't say, we are conquerors. He said, we are more than conquerors. In the Greek, these words mean hypernikeo. Please don't come and question me if that's not how you pronounce it. But it means to overwhelmingly, listen to this, it means to overwhelmingly conquer, to gain a decisive victory and a surpassing victory. This isn't a victory won by the skin of our teeth. Oh, did I get over that line first before the person behind me? No, it is not by the skin of our teeth. This is stating we have total and complete victory today. It can't be questioned. Your victory in Christ cannot be questioned. It is not up for appeal because the blood of Jesus has already settled it. Jesus just didn't barely defeat the devil. He utterly destroyed the power and the works of the enemy. It's like being in a courtroom and the verdict comes down and you have won. But then can you imagine if someone says, I'm actually going to appeal that decision because I don't agree with it. You know, those are the times that can make you feel like, I'm doubting what's going on, and it can bring confusion. But that's not what we have in Christ today. Our victory is not under review. It's already been decided. This case is closed. We have complete assurance today that we are more than conquerors. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. John 8:36. Think about this. When you walk into your room, a bedroom, whatever it may be, when you turn on the light, does the light struggle to push out the darkness? Do you have to sit there and say, come on, light, I believe in you. You can do it. Lord, just shine a little bit brighter. I'm here for you, encouraging you. Of course not. The moment you turn that switch on, the darkness is gone. There is no fight. There is no contest. Light completely removes the darkness instantly and effortlessly. That's what Jesus did for us. He didn't just fight the darkness. He removed its power from our lives. 1 John 4:4 says this, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Growing up as a child, did you ever hear these words? Do you pay for the bills in this house? Do you pay for the electricity? And I'd say, no, because I'm only 10 and I don't have a job. Well, then go turn the light off in your bedroom. Okay. But we never have to worry about that because Jesus has already paid the price for us. This is what hypernikaia means, an overwhelmingly complete and irreversible victory because of Jesus Christ. We didn't just scrape through. Aren't you glad about that today? We stand in triumph because Jesus has already won the battle. So do we really know what we're more than conquerors in? Paul gives us a picture in Romans 8:35. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? In other words, all these things, trouble, challenges, hardships, nothing can separate us from God's love. Challenges, sometimes it's just those little things that happen at home or in your workplace or maybe with your friends at school. Trouble, and I don't mean struggling to use your computer at home. Persecution, you know, maybe it's just opposition from people who don't understand your faith and what you believe in. Distress, danger, hardship, those moments of disappointment, sickness and uncertainty that weigh heavily on us. Bullying, threats, backstabbing, those painful personal attacks, words that may have been said against you. In all these things, Paul says we are more than conquerors. Sometimes it's not the big things. Sometimes it's just the little things that try to derail us from this truth, that you and I are more than conquerors. So how do we strengthen ourselves in this truth? You know, it's easy to believe when life is going well, but what about when it's not? When the waves are buffeting us, when the pressure is real, when the enemy is active, when the circumstances scream the opposite of what you know God has promised you? Do we stand firm in the truth of Romans 8:37? I know Paul did. In Acts 16, he found himself wrongfully accused and in a prison cell. Despite his ordeal and not knowing the outcome, he chose to strengthen himself in the Lord. He didn't let the circumstances define his faith. He let his faith define the circumstances. In that dark place, in pain, what did he do? He chose to worship and praise God, declaring God's truth. And what happened? Suddenly there was an earthquake. The prison doors were opened and their chains fell off and he was free. But not only that, he was able to minister to the jailer at the time, and people came to know Jesus because of his decision to strengthen himself in the Lord. So what can we do? We too can choose to focus on God through praise and worship. We can declare who we are in Christ. We can lean on Holy Spirit, who is always walking with us. And Paul didn't just write these words, he lived them. In the differing circumstances he found himself in, he chose to strengthen himself in the Lord through praise and declaration. And he's not the only one. David also faced a difficult situation in 1 Samuel chapter 30. When he and his men returned to Ziklag, they found that the Amalekites, who were their enemy at the time, had taken all their families, their wives, their children, and had set fire to the place. And in their grief, he and his men who were grieving, his men turned against him. And because of that, David was deeply distressed. So what did he do? In 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, it says this: he strengthened himself in the Lord. David focused his attention upon God. He asked God, "What do I do? What do I do in this situation, Lord?" And after having that time of spending that time with God, being strengthened in his spirit, he took action. He took action and followed God's instruction. You know, sometimes it's the simple act of getting up in faith is how God brings victory into our view. We have to strengthen ourselves in the Lord and not our emotions, not the circumstances, but in our unchanging God and his truth. We can know a scripture in our minds, but when we find ourselves in a difficult or seemingly impossible situation, what are we going to do? Will we wallow, or will we declare who we are in Jesus Christ? Declare his truth from that place of victory he's already given us. We don't fight for victory, we fight from victory. You know, the circumstances may not change, but what if they do? What if your praise shifts the atmosphere? What if your declaration of faith releases freedom, not only for yourself, but those around you? That's what it looks like to live out Romans 8:37. You can remind yourself, I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. Is there a situation? That you're walking through right now that you need to praise over? Is God bringing something to your mind? I'm going through a hard time, Lord, and I just need to right now strengthen myself by praising over this situation. And remember, we're not alone. Holy Spirit is with us. We don't have to summon up strength or courage on our own. We know that the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives and dwells in us, guiding us, comforting us, and reminding us who we are in Christ. When we feel weak, he intercedes for us. He intercedes for us all the time. When we feel uncertain, he steadies our hearts. We are never alone. We walk every step of this journey with him. So today, whatever season you're walking through, hold on to this truth. You are more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you. You don't have to fight for victory. Jesus already won it for you. Walk in that freedom. Speak it over your life. Let it shape this morning how you think. Let it shape how you pray and live. Because we are more than conquerors. No matter what comes your way, the good and the uncertainty, you are loved, empowered, and never alone. And through him, we will overcome. Today, we are more than conquerors because of the blood of Jesus. We are more than conquerors because Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The devil may go around like a lion, but let me tell you, Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. There is no comparison. There is no similarities. There is no, oh, is this race going to be, it's toe and toe. No, it's not. Our Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah in our hearts, in this church, in our families, in our workplaces, in those situations where we go, God, I don't know what to do. I haven't seen the unseen yet, but I will stand in faith knowing you are. You are the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And you are on my side. You are working for me and not against me. You are working for me and my family and not against me. The enemy might try and look like he's fighting against you, but let me tell you, it is just a camouflage. It is just a likeness. It has no comparison on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in our lives, in our families, in our workplaces, in our situations. Breakthrough, I declare right now, breakthrough is coming into people's hearts and lives today. And if you don't know Jesus today, I want to encourage you. The best decision you can make is to invite him into your life, where you can walk in freedom and liberty in what Jesus has done for you on the cross. And the first step of faith is simply believing what he has done for you. He sent his son Jesus, who died on the cross and rose again on the third day, for your forgiveness of your sins. And in Romans 10:9, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So today, if you're ready to take that step to say yes to Jesus, I'd love for you to pray with me. We're going to pray this prayer together. I'd love for you to pray it after, repeat after me. And the church is going to help. Dear Jesus, please come into my life and forgive me of all my sins. I declare that you are Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. And I choose to follow you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.